Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor at Denver Bible Church, and I have a private announcement for those who are members of Denver Bible Church. Now, a broadcast is supposed to be a broadcast, right? You're not supposed to talk to a small group of people. But if you're a member of Denver Bible Church, you are now a member of a church with a church. This is big news, folks. Denver Bible Church was planted by a Bible Church across town, across the Denver metro area in January of 2000. And after 15 years of wandering in the wilderness, of being renters, with God's help and our dear friends from this radio audience, really, you guys have enabled this. And a little bit later in the program, we'll talk more about this facility. But yesterday, with one of the elders of Denver Bible Church, the two of us attended a closing at Land Title, and we have purchased a church. I didn't even know you could buy a church. I mean, when I was growing up, who would ever think of buying a church, right? But you could actually buy a church, and we did, and we are blessed beyond measure. It's close to I-70 in Kipling. If you know the Denver metro area, it's for where our church families are located, from Littleton and Highlands Ranch all the way up to Reunion and even like Greeley and Loveland and out to Parker and just all over the Denver metro area. From that perspective, this is our most centrally located meeting place that we've ever had, which is a huge blessing in and of itself. And now we have a property to hold, you know, creation evolution meetings and our pro-life conferences and our Bible studies, theology studies. I mean, we might even be able to get some Greek classes going, teaching Greek and homeschool events. And of course, church on Sundays. And we're just so thrilled. So I want to tell you about where the church is located. And this Sunday, people are naturally excited. Everybody at our church is so excited. And people want to come for the first service. And so we've started saying, please bring your own chair. This will be a BYOC event because the chairs that we've gotten for the sanctuary, our church had, like last Sunday, we had what, about 75 people at church. And this facility, the sanctuary, seats about 100 to really 120. And so we have beautiful chairs coming. But for the first Sunday or two, we've got folding chairs in the sanctuary. Is that even allowed? Does God allow folding chairs in the sanctuary? Is it holy ground? Really, the whole world is God's. It's all God's. So in a way, it's all holy. But yeah, God has no problem with folding chairs. Now, folding chairs are not mentioned in the Bible. Neither are pianos, you know. But God has no problem with these things. And so we have folding chairs, and we might have just barely enough for our regulars. So if you're going to come out, and by the way, it's only about 2 minutes from I-70 in Kipling, just south a few blocks and one block east. So it's a block east of Kipling, right at 41st Avenue. So real easy to get to. And our adult Sunday school classes are at 9:30. And our service starts around 10:45. I'll be teaching. We have two adult classes. We'll be starting up now young kids, Sunday school classes. As the kids get older, we encourage them to sit in with the adults because it's the same Bible, and the kids learn as quickly as the adults, if not more quickly. But we'll be starting up soon enough Sunday school classes for real young kids. But if you're inclined to come, please bring your own chair and BYOC. And my class, we're in Isaiah chapter 12. We're going through the book of Isaiah. Lord willing, we've been going through the whole Bible verse by verse from a perspective of Denver Bible Church, of Bob and Yurt Live. That's sometimes a little different than the perspective of maybe a typical church. We've got maybe a bit more of an edge to us when we go through the Bible and we see how the prophets interacted with believers and unbelievers, and how the apostles interacted with believers and unbelievers, and how Jesus interacted with believers and unbelievers. It's occurred to us that a lot of the demeanor today that's considered acceptable by much of the church is a bit, well, almost effeminate, like the church has been emasculated. And so get a little bit more of that manliness back into the body of Christ. Jesus was a man's man. And so Denver Bible Church, we're thankful for the role that God has given us, and we hope and pray to honor him and to please him in how we interact with others, minister to our own families. We've got so many fabulous families, and there's tons of young kids. Tons of young kids. And what a blessing Denver Bible Church has been. So you're invited, but I really want to get to the news. But then I would like to get back to talking a bit more about the property. I'll give you the address, 4085 Independence Court. 4085 Independence Court. We've put letters in the mail to our neighbors, our new neighbors, letting them know that we're moving in and looking forward to a great relationship with them. So it should be a lot of fun. All right. So now, I can't make out the writing. I'm sorry. I'm giving a message to someone in our studio who's giving me a message. Okay. So now, before we go further into that, a few things. The Bob and Yurt Live YouTube channel, it's growing by leaps and bounds. Our newly attended to YouTube channel, we've got a brand new video excerpt from our BEL Televised Classics up, How to Get Out of Jury Duty. It's just so fun. How to get out of jury duty. You know, sometimes on YouTube, these how-to videos go viral. So this was just, I mean, we didn't make this just for a video to go viral, but it's How to Get Out of Jury Duty from a BEL Televised Classic. I think you'll love that video. And we've passed 55,000 views and on our way up. And Lord willing, we'll hit 300 subscribers sometime real soon. And then HGTV, you guys heard about them canceling a new program that they had begun producing, the Benham Brothers, and they canceled it because the Benham Brothers, they knew they were strong Christians, and they wanted like Duck Dynasty and these, each of these sort of family or home and garden or whatever TV networks, the big ones, had one show that focused on a Christian family or somebody who's strong, radical Christian, and HGTV had none. And they were missing out on millions, tens of millions of dollars a year because there are so many Christians who love good programming. So they got the Benham Brothers. And by the way, their dad, Flip Benham, is a dear friend of Bob and Yurt Lives. For years, he was the head of OSA, Operation Save America, and Operation Rescue National. And so his son, it was so cool that his sons were had a contract with HGTV, and because they believe that homosexuality is a sin, because they know homosexuality is a sin, their show was canceled right as it's about to launch. And so a lot of money and effort had been put into the series, and then it was canceled. So I've asked our producer to see if we could possibly get the Benham Brothers on. And so, Lord willing, it's not completely finalized, but Lord willing, next week we will broadcast an interview with the Benham Brothers. That'll be so great. And we have a Big Bang seminar coming up in Indianapolis, March 7th. Can't wait for that. Just had folks in Europe Google evidence against the Big Bang and Big Bang predictions. And here at Bob Benert Live and our Real Science Radio, our two articles on those topics come up right at the top of Google, even in Europe. So here in the U.S., we're number one out of millions and number two on those two search phrases. So, and that's hard to accomplish. And so we thank all of you out there who are interested in our Friday Real Science Radio show for whenever you post a link to one of our shows, or especially our very important articles like the evidence against the Big Bang and Big Bang predictions, that helps Google rank these important pages highly so that students studying astronomy or astrophysics, cosmology at wherever, Princeton University, and they Google Big Bang predictions, they're going to be shocked by the information they read, the other side of the story, the rest of the story, how the Big Bang does not explain the observations and it does not make accurate predictions. Okay. So also, Italy. You know, last night there was a special about Italian Americans on PBS, I think it was. And I'm a third generation Italian American. And so I sort of lived it. I didn't really have to watch the special. But they said that when it was first realized that heart attacks were the number one cause of death in America, especially for men. And there was this one Italian community, a town in Pennsylvania. I lived in northern New Jersey, grew up there. Cheryl is from Ohio. There was this one Italian community where they had an extremely low rate of heart attacks. And so they tried to find out why. And they said, well, it must be their diet. What do you people eat? And they said, pasta. And so that didn't seem to connect. And so they ate whatever they wanted to eat. But it was one of the first indicators that they realized that stress seemed to be a major factor, because that community, it was such a tightly knit community that they had relatively low stress. Like, people had kids and they knew when they get old and they can't really take care of themselves that they'd live with their kids and their grandkids. And so people grew up knowing that they would take care of one another. And that was like a first glimpse of the reality of stress as a killer. And so that's one of the reasons I've never really strongly promoted the health food worldview, because the stress of worrying about your food could kill you more than aspartame could kill you. The stress can kill you. And so back when none of our food was processed, we lived to what? Average people died in their 40s and early 50s. That was sort of the norm. And today we live to our 80s, and some of us actually still walk around. Some of us, we're not all tied up to machines keeping us alive for the last 30 years of our lives. So back when none of the food was processed, we died young. And then when food became cheap and wildly diverse, because it's inexpensive relatively, that's what happened. People started living another 30 years. Hey, can we go to the phones? All right. Our phone number, 303. No, I'll give the 800. 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278 in Westminster, Colorado. Sean, welcome to Bob Benert Live.
Hello there. How you doing?
Doing great, sir.
Good, good. Well, I just wanted to congratulate you on the church that you're getting. I know I've been hearing about you guys trying to get that settled, yeah, you know, the last month or so.
Yeah, Sean, we've been...
Praise the Lord.
Well, hello. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Sean, You know, since we became a church in January of 2000, that was our first service, the first Sunday in January 2000, we've thought how wonderful it would be. But Sean, do you know about Denver Bible Church that we're pretty much a homeschool church?
I've heard you mention about it. You know, I do have a church I go to, and you know, it'd be nice to come visit sometime. You know, it's nice. I said it'd be nice. It's nice to visit some other Christian churches. You know, fellowship with some others. You know.
Oh yeah. Wow. But Sean, and so
okay, he doesn't want to be. That's all right.
Yeah. No. So so let me say, Sean, for the audience to realize, a homeschool family. Sean, as a homeschool church, the economics change because almost all of our families, maybe all of them, are single-income families because mom stays home to teach the kids. And
that's
so, yeah, and so for a small church to be able to purchase a property is just an extraordinary blessing. And it's really because of people in out beyond our four walls, beyond our own congregation, who've recognized the work we're doing, people who've learned about us through Bob and Yurt Live and Real Science Radio, who've wanted to help us get a home base to operate out of. It's because of God's blessing and their help in our congregation, we now have a facility. Thank you, Sean.
Good way. God always provides, you know, as we stay faithful.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I also just wanted to comment, too. Also, I heard you a few weeks you had played that recording, I guess, in the 80s of the Eagle Eggs thing.
Yes, yes.
And it's just amazing how people will protect the trees and birds will snap, but when it comes to humans, no, we're not going to protect them. You know? And I've learned a lot listening to you and some other Christian organizations, and I do look into things, too, you know, because
sure.
And I know I've read over the years that there's parts in Revelation where it talks about that, how man over time is going to start worshiping the earth. And it's like, well, you know, I love animals, but I'm not going to die for no dog.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Whereas we will die for our children to protect them. In fact, a good man would die for a stranger to protect a stranger. But it would be wrong to die to save an animal. That would be wrong. That'd be a misuse of your life.
Exactly. You know, and God doesn't mind us taking care of things. But, there's nowhere in the Bible where it even remotely says, hey, we die for whales. We die for, it's like, no, we die for each other because we're human. We have a soul. He created us.
Right.
He wants us to have a family with him. You know,
And you know what's so, it's so convenient, Sean, for people who want to save the whales, because a whale doesn't show up on your front porch at Saturday night at 11:30 and throw up on your couch, you know, but when you're trying to save human beings, that's really when your life interfaces with another human being's life. And that's when the demands are put on you.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I've learned, especially since I get back in the Word, that basically what it comes down to is the human part of us, we want to live in our sin. We don't want to give up our sin, you know, and it's, God has something better for us, but we have to recognize that we're sinners, which he explained to us. It was like I was talking to a guy about some stuff like that the other day. It says, until someone else comes along who can prove he can walk on water, he can heal people, or something, I'm going to stick with Jesus Christ. You know? His documents, it's shown he was a real person. He still is. He did the miracles. It's been documented. You know, some people say, oh, it's mass hysteria. It's like, no, there's nothing to prove mass hysteria.
He was raised from the dead.
And as
prophesied, and the Lord fulfilled so many prophecies. You know, we have a video called a DVD, Mount Moriah, Evidence for the Resurrection, downloadable. It's on DVD. And when an unbeliever contacts us for the last 20 years, we send that to them for free because the evidence for the resurrection is overwhelming.
Oh, yeah.
Just overwhelming. Now, if a Christian wants a DVD, we sell it to them. But we also tell people, if you can't afford a price on our store at kgov.com, just whatever you can afford. Because our goal is to get the material out to teach people.
And let them know the truth. You know?
Yeah, well, Sean, very encouraging. And I understand you have a church, but maybe you could visit sometime. That'd be a great blessing.
No, I would. I would like to. I'd like to come meet you. I said, I hear you on the radio quite often, you know. And, you know, sometimes I'll disagree with something, but for the most part, I feel you're doing the word of God. You really are doing
well,
the
thank
truth.
You. And when you disagree, please somehow try to get through to my thick head, because it's pretty thick.
I do. Well, it's like my pastor said. He said, if there's something I'm not right with, he says, come and talk to me. Let's look at the word. And
oh, yeah.
And I tell people, too, always go to the word.
Yeah, and if,
the word.
You know, and if I found a perfect church, I wouldn't join it because I'd ruin it, right?
Exactly.
So we're not infallible.
Exactly.
We are not infallible.
Yeah.
No man is infallible. Only God is infallible.
Exactly. And that's why I always tell people, always through Christ. We're always going to make mistakes, but it's through him he gives us the strength to love and be, you know, to love other people.
Mm.
You know, like, yeah. Well, yeah. God bless. I just wanted to say, you know, good work you guys are doing. And just,
Thank you, Sean. You know, thanks for calling in. It's an encouragement.
Yeah, I'll eventually come by and visit with you guys sometime.
All right. We'll look forward to meeting you in person.
Okay.
Right. So our phone number, 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. But that documentary on Italians last night was sort of timely because Italy is in the news, because they're actually afraid now. The country of Italy is afraid that ISIS might invade them from their beachhead in Libya. And this is big news. I mean, ISIS is running through Libya, right? The world is burning while Obama fiddles, right? Obama's fiddling and the world is burning. And Italian officials in Rome are panicking about this Islamic State that's just across the sea. And they have no idea, literally, they have no idea how to combat the crisis. There's an article about this in, you know, remember Newsweek magazine? Well, they died, sort of, and their carcass is now called, it's a website, it's called The Daily Beast. The Daily Beast is the carcass of Newsweek magazine. And they're reporting that Italy is, once again, in a mess before a genocidal, tyrannical threat. This time it's not the anti-Semitic Nazis, it's the anti-Semitic Muslims this time. So ISIS has just put out a new video this past week addressed to Italy. And it says, we are south of Rome. It's addressed to the nation signed with the blood of the cross. They're talking about the Vatican in Italy and Rome. And they said in their video, we are south of Rome. And they are. They're about 300 miles south of Sicily. And the island, the Italian island closest to Libya is just about 100 miles north of the coast of Libya. So ISIS is about 100 miles from Italy. And it's worse than that, because since last year, they've seen this enormous increase in illegal immigration, 64% increase in illegal immigration since last year of immigrants arriving by sea, illegal immigrants. Like in the U.S., they come over land mostly from Mexico. Italy, they're coming from Africa, Muslims mostly. So in 2014, they had 170,000 people arrive from the Muslim countries of Libya and Turkey. That was the highest number ever recorded. And now things are just obviously out of control. And last weekend, embassy staffers from Libya, Italian embassy staffers, they got on a mercantile ship to go back to the motherland, Italy. And at the same time as they were, what was there, maybe a couple dozen staffers, as they were making the trip, at the exact same time, immigrants left the same Libyan shore en route to Sicily, 2,164 of them, the same day. So, you know, so the Italian Navy, now they're thinking, we use our Navy to help the immigrants who are coming to Italy. We use our Navy to do that. Could you even call it a Navy? I don't know if you could call it a Navy. You know, the the Italian Navy. So the Italian Prime Minister, Matteo Renzi, he closed up the embassy in Tripoli. And he, at the same time, he threatened military action, which is somewhat of a joke, with the joke being on him, as he soon enough pretty much admitted. Because Italy has, what, only a few thousand troops available that are maybe deployable, maybe not. And they're, and that's according to their defense ministry. Their paltry military budget was cut by another 40% 2 years ago. So while illegal immigration is up 64%, they cut their military budget by 40%. And they haven't been able to purchase the 90 F-35 fighter jets that they were needing. They literally have no ability to lead any military mission, let alone one against the Islamic State, ISIS. So their Prime Minister, Renzi, he went on Italian television, and here's what he said. It's not the time for a military intervention. Yeah, right. Right. You know, it's one thing to admit that you can't intervene, but it's rather delusional and reminiscent of who? Neville Chamberlain, the disgraced Prime Minister of Britain, whose picture appears in the dictionary under the word appeasement. It's delusional to say it's not the time for military intervention, especially when ISIS is verbally threatening Rome, when its independent mercenaries are conducting operations around Europe, killing Jews and non-Muslims, and they just beheaded, what, 21 Christians, on top of all the Christians they've already killed. So the Prime Minister in Italy said Monday night on TV that the United Nations will lead the way. What a joke, right? Here's what he said. Our proposal is to wait for the UN Security Council. The strength of the UN is decidedly superior to that of the radical militias. Wow, that's delusion, right? The better you know the God who created us, the less delusional you need to be in your worldview. So Denver Bible Church, we're just so thrilled to have a new home. Maybe come visit sometime soon. God bless you guys.